Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page. I'm a psychotherapist. I'm the author of the best-selling book, Deeper Dating, and your host on this podcast. And today, we're going to be talking about your core gifts and the five keys to being able to develop those gifts.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
I just want to say that if this path to deeper intimacy interests you, just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com and you'll find over 200 episodes listened to and downloaded by millions of people and rich, rich, rich material and a transcript of every episode. And if you go to deeperdatinggifts.com, you can sign up for my mailing list and get a free ebook with five of the key viral concepts that I teach in all of my work. But let's jump in now and let me say something about what core gifts are. Your core gifts are the most personally authentic parts of you. They're your most tender places, your most passionate places, your most unique places. They are where the beating heart of your humanity lies. And you find them wherever you feel the most you, the most vulnerable, the most passionate, the most authentic. And when you do, you're in your magic spot. You are in the spot that you are built and born to create from, to love from, and to interact with the world from. And as I say in my book, Deeper Dating, they lie at the very heart of your ability to have intimacy. And when you open to them, they will guide you inexorably to what matters most to you. And when we ignore them, we commit an act of quiet violence against ourselves. I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a six-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page, you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. So in this episode, I'm going to teach you how to discover your core gifts, and I'm going to talk about the five great keys to developing those gifts and the five great hungers that these gifts have. So to discover your core gifts, which is the work of a lifetime, start by asking yourself these three questions. What qualities in you have led to your greatest experiences of joy? What sensitivities in you have led to your deepest pain? And what do you long to create and do in the world? And your answers to these questions are going to point you in the direction of your core gifts as you learn to trust your nervous system more and more in the things that cause you pain and give you joy and meaning. You will more and more be able to identify your precious, unique, and powerful core gifts. They have profoundly deep roots in your being. And they need to be fed if they're going to flourish. And you need them to flourish if you're going to flourish. And to thrive in this world, your gifts need to be nourished in five different ways. So as I talk this through, notice if any of these concepts strike a deep chord inside you. I imagine some of them will. And if so, take a few seconds. Just pause the recording and just reflect on why that one touched you. So the first is, and the foremost, is that your core gifts, the parts of you where you feel so deeply, need to feel accepted by their ultimate parent figure, you. But that's not always so simple. Were you ever frightened by the intensity of your passion? Or did you ever feel that your heart was just too tender to survive in the cold commerce of day-to-day life? And have you felt a fear that you'd be rejected or misunderstood if you shared what you really think and feel? And I imagine for all of you, just as is true for me and to the clients that I've worked with in my decades of work as a psychotherapist, the answer is yeah. And most of us, though, have been deeply hurt many times in every one of those ways. So we learn to treat our gifts gingerly. We create airbrushed versions of them that won't get us into as much trouble. Most of us feel ambivalent or scared toward our core gifts because they are powerful. We know they're the truest parts of ourselves, but they're the ones that have gotten us hurt very often the most. And this is something I've talked about a lot, but my parents were Holocaust survivors. And they learned the hard way that weakness meant death. And growing up as a gay boy in the 50s and 60s, I was really ashamed of my sensitivity. I was embarrassed by how I was moved to tears so easily. My mom actually brought me to the doctor to make sure that I didn't have a problem with my tear ducts. I was humiliated by my intense emotional response to other people suffering, to things that felt off in my environment. They kind of knocked me down at the knees. And I knew then that my sensitivity was a weakness. And now I know that it's the opposite. This was my weakness. My weakness was my lack of respect for my sensitivity. That sensitivity is one of my core gifts. And I really think that my best writing and my best work as a therapist and my best teaching and speaking springs from those very qualities I always thought I had to hide, particularly in romance. The work of deep self-acceptance doesn't involve building some larger-than-life self-confidence, which is like the crap that we get taught in dating advice again and again and again. It's more about a moment-to-moment acceptance of the currents of experience and emotion running through every moment of our days. Your core gifts, my core gifts, are always trying to get us to listen, sometimes in a whisper, sometimes in a shout, sometimes by painful silence and emptiness when they feel that we're just not listening. As long as we're alive, they will be waiting for us to love and accept them and to finally give them their freedom and the honor that they deserve. So the next hunger is having our core gifts shared, because giving and being given to are not luxuries, they're imperatives. What water is to a plant, generosity is to your gifts. We all hunger to give. We long for children. We long for pets. We long for loved ones. We long for creative expression, because unfettered giving is one of life's absolute joys. Our core gifts must be given and must touch other people. And we need to see that happening before we can ever feel that we are truly worthy in this world. In self-psychology, they speak about the ingredients of trust, and one of them is that our gifts will be received in the world. And in my many, 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 many years as a psychotherapist, I've seen again and again that my clients who are generous are the ones who are the most capable of happiness. A question for you. Which of your gifts do you long to share? Another really interesting hunger of our core gifts is they need us to cultivate their complement, their opposite. In order for our gifts to have legs in the world, we need to develop their complementary opposite quality in us. Our tenderness needs bravery. Our generosity needs boundaries. The visionary needs to cultivate practicality. The practical person needs to cultivate their vision. And the generous person, like I said, needs to cultivate their no. On some level, most of us would really rather not do the work of cultivating this opposite. It's hard. It's uphill. It's hard to cultivate the opposite quality of our dominant gifts. But when we do, something powerful happens. We find our self-respect growing. We get stronger. The trunk of the tree of our being gets thicker and stronger. We feel more solid, more self-confident, and we like ourselves more and respect ourselves more. And we feel more like adults, but maintain the child inside as well. So our core gifts will probably always remain dominant because perfection isn't the goal, but a rich life is. And this is something really interesting. The more we have cultivated our opposite quality to our gifts, the more we'll be attracted to people who have a balance around that. The less we cultivate the opposite complementary quality of our core gifts, the more we're going to be sexually and romantically attracted to people who carry that quality in an extreme way. So, for example, somebody who's generous of spirit but can't set limits is going to be attracted to someone who's selfish, someone who is great at taking but not so great at giving back. For me, as I said, my weakness lay in my inability to honor and dignify my sensitivity. As I developed more backbone around honoring my sensitivity, I got less and less attracted to guys who were cocky and arrogant, and more attracted to guys who could express goodness and were kind of more integrated. So the more you cultivate the complementary qualities to your precious core gifts, the more you're going to find yourself attracted to people who appreciate those gifts and won't take advantage of them or step on them or demean them. The next is learning. Your core gifts need to be respected enough to be developed. Our core gifts hunger to be tested, to push past fears and obstacle illusions. Like a gifted kid hungers to have her gift seen and acknowledged, your gifts hunger for a mentor who honors them, who delights in their flights of excess, shelters their vulnerability, and sends them out into the world to be shared and tested. And creating that inner sense of discipline is a rare accomplishment. It takes time and it takes effort. But our core gifts want to be told, you have magic. You have genius. You need to be built up and lived and developed. Because our core gifts aren't stagnant. They're like constantly longing to take us into the next mystery. They compel us to take a risk, to turn the next corner, to meet the next enemy, to devour the next limitations. They're hungry and they're powerful. And when we learn to call them gifts instead of imperfections, our kind of crippling carefulness starts lessening. And that's when those gifts can really start to grow and become genius, because they are our genius. And here's another. Your core gifts hunger for greatness. But we need to rethink the meaning of gifts and the meaning of greatness, because greatness is not fame. It's not success. It's something a lot more humbling and a lot more challenging. As you feed the hunger of your core gifts, you're going to find yourself touching the hem of your greatness, a kind of greatness that might not even have words. You'll sense that you're closer to some kind of native place with maybe more vastness than you're used to, more tenderness than you're used to, more sacredness than you're used to, more wideness than you're used to. I've been meditating for like over 40 years. And every time I meditate, I'm touching the hem of a place bigger, more beautiful, more divine, more scary, more expanded than I am. So it's constantly both wonderful and scary. I think that our love for fame And recognition, intense recognition, is in some way, it's like a cheapened expression of this hunger for authentic personal greatness. So how do each of these hungers relate for you? How do they touch you? And also, how might they apply in your intimacy life? In my work leading my intensives, I get to see where people feel shame and the core gifts that lie around that shame. They may feel shame around their generosity. They may feel shame around their need for freedom, their creativity, or their longing for intense connectedness, their need to feel special and make other people feel special. These are like the qualities where our greatness lies. And so I can look at these people in my intensives, and as they talk about these places they're ashamed of, I can see, and those of us around them in the intensive see so clearly the beauty of those parts. But that's why we need a community to help us see those qualities. And as you live the power, the tenderness, the uniqueness of your core gifts, as you feed these five hungers of your core gifts, you will find yourself attracted to and attractive to people who treasure those qualities in you. And that is why, and this is why, the true intimacy journey is the journey to our own greatness and our own healing. And again, if you want to learn more about these ideas, just go to deeperdatinggifts.com and you'll get a free ebook, get to hear a lot more about my work, but get a free ebook with five viral concepts that will help you in your search for intimacy. So thank you all for listening, and I'll connect with you on the next episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.